You're listening to Tri-State Viewpoint on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
Hey, welcome back to Tri-State Viewpoint. We're here in the studio, our very nice studio here in beautiful downtown Huntington, and Mayor Dean and me. And we have another guest that I'm going to mention in a minute, Gene, but I want to start out by both of you, Patrick and Gene, about this past Saturday night in Charleston. It was the annual gathering of the Democrats. It's a fundraiser, and everybody gets rah-rahed up, and it's called the Jefferson Jackson Day. They're similar to what the Republicans have. They had theirs last month, and they had Mike Huckabee come in and speak.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a kind of a celebration of the life of Senator Jay Rockefeller, who is retiring this year. He was there with his wife and his children and some grandchildren. And Vice President Joe Biden came and spoke, and he's a very good friend of Senator Rockefeller, because they served together for 20-some years in the Senate. And prior to that, Senator Biden then served with Senator Byrd for many years, and he knew of Jennings Randolph, who was another very prominent senator, the author of the 18-year-old vote and things like that. But in his remarks, Vice President Biden said that these three men, Rockefeller and Byrd and Randolph, he said that if the Senate had a Hall of Fame, and they don't, but he said Rockefeller, Byrd, and Randolph would be in there. He says, I can't think of another state in this union whose leadership in the last half century has left a more indelible mark on the U.S. and the Senate than the state of West Virginia.
Well, that's a big compliment to the state,
huge
isn't
compliment.
It?
Yes. You know,
I mean, and he meant it from the heart. It was
yes.
And both of you, when you look at the, well, you know, people know Senator Byrd's contribution, not only
sure.
to West Virginia, but to this country. But Jennings Randolph, when the Democrats were in their heyday building the interstates and airports, he was chairman of the Public Works Committee,
mm-hmm.
and he came in on a new deal with President Roosevelt, Gene, back in the day. He was there for many years, and the interesting thing, in his every year for 20 years, he introduced a bill to lower the voting age to 18. And toward the tail end of his career, actually during the Vietnam era, when the guys were being drafted mm-hmm. and who were under 21, he introduced it again, and it flew through the Senate, and the Constitution
right.
was
if you're
amended.
Young enough to fight for your country,
exactly.
you're old enough to vote.
And that is, I believe, the 27th Amendment. But it's now. But Senator, so Randolph made, the interstate system. He was the one that did so much. So, but I thought that was, I wanted to say that, because that was a wonderful statement from the Vice President. And the fact of the matter, I think it's true.
mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, what's ironic, Bobby, from a personal viewpoint, as you know, I was in Washington last week, and I had anticipated seeing Congressman Ray Hall and Senator Rockefeller and Senator Manchin, and they're all here in Huntington or in Charleston. But anyway,
yeah,
it was...
Well, Patrick, I guess we kind of got off on a little nostalgia there, but what's in the news that you want to...
You have to introduce me.
Oh.
I haven't been introduced yet.
Can we get a drum roll, please?
Ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Boys and girls, far and wide, around the world,
now.
Across the state, we have in our midst the
one and only
Patrick Grace.
Yay!
How's that?
We need the applause line there.
Okay.
There he is.
Okay, now you're on.
Oh, okay. What was your question?
Well, I didn't think we got to that.
I asked him what news item, because Patrick's well read. He keeps up with what's going on. I know
the
Affordable
Care.
We have the big thing coming up in Kentucky with the
You know, what's happening today in Kentucky is pretty interesting, is that... Ed Schultz, who does the liberal talk show on MSNBC, he's here, mm-hmm. of course, on the radio, and he's on the television in the evening on MSNBC. He is doing his show today from Frankfort, the capital of Kentucky, with Governor Beshear mm-hmm. over Kentucky's rollout of the Affordable Care Act, which apparently is one of the very best in the whole country, right up there with California, New York, and Massachusetts. And Governor Beshear, of course, the question is, why? Why Kentucky? What have they done?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how much you know about what they've done that no other state has done.
They have their own exchange, right?
They have their own exchange. And apparently they built their own website, and their website is working well. They should have built the website for the federal government. That would have been a good idea. And on their website, as I understand it, they have a capacity for the people that log on to browse and not register. You don't have to register as a potential consumer of insurance. You can just get on there as an individual and browse and see what all the possible selections are. You don't have to make any commitment, not even give your contact information. And that's been very popular.
In this positive note, and I think it's wonderful what Kentucky has done, but nevertheless, I'm very disturbed about, and I know many, many thousands of people are, that the president said that your current insurance will not be canceled, but then hundreds of thousands of people are actually receiving these cancellation notices.
Yeah.
Now, I understand there's some sort of explanation, it's not really winning any points at
the
moment.
No, I don't think he was aware, personally, and maybe he should have been, of what would happen when the Affordable Care Act passed, that there were much more exigent requirements of what insurance should cover. And a lot of these policies that have been sold to individuals kind of on the cheap, as Bobby knows, they didn't cover very much. They were almost referred to as junk insurance. Mm-hmm. And so the government didn't cancel these policies. The insurance companies canceled these policies.
Well, that's true, but the president said your policy will not be canceled.
Right, yeah. But he wasn't aware of how many people had pretty flimsy policies, I guess.
Should he not have been aware?
Should have been aware.
That was a poor choice of words, but we got to be clear that only about 5% of the people who purchase insurance are affected by that. The others, Medicare and Medicaid and all of that. But it's people who go on the private
insurance.
Yeah, employer insurance, all that.
Employer insurance.
The people who decide on their own to buy a private policy. And as I mentioned before, those policies, people really don't know what they have until they have to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And they cover about 30% of what your needs are, whereas the employee ones, usually like we have at City Hall, is about 80%. But the insurance companies got an exemption to keep the policies, not have to go do anything more, except they had to meet the minimum standards of the federal law. Well, they don't meet them. That's why these insurance companies are doing the canceling.
That's why they're canceling.
Yeah.
But that's no comfort to the people who are getting the cancellation notices.
But there is the other side of this. Some of these people can go to exchanges and end up with a better policy.
And they're also ending up with larger premiums.
Some of them.
Not all of them.
It's a real mixed
bag,
Gene, actually.
Yeah.
And people that qualify for the subsidies are going to do very well. I don't know, what is the income threshold to qualify for some of these subsidies, Bobby?
For a family of four, it's about $85,000-$90,000.
That's pretty high.
Well, you're talking about a family now, but the single coverage, it's still $40,000-some, yeah.
If you're a single individual, $40,000 income, you still get a subsidy to buy health insurance?
You
is that what you're
the,
saying?
There are other factors that go in, age and things like that, the idea is to try and make it affordable to everyone. Now, these people can go on the exchange and look and see if they can get a better deal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them will, because when you...
Well, they'll have to, because now they don't have any insurance once their cancellation
effect. Well, the insurance company can sell them another policy, that's saying, but they have the minimum requirements, which drives up their premium, because they're going to have to meet the federal standards as to, pre-existing conditions and all of that.
I understand what you're saying, Bobby, but it just doesn't sound quite fair. And it also sounds rather detrimental that the president actually said there will be no cancellation policies.
He was short-sighted and he was ill-advised by his people. I think one of the problems we're facing, and it hasn't come up in the media yet, I'm going to write about it, is that the second-term team in the White House is nowhere near the class of the first-term team. They cannot compare to David Plouffe, David Axelrod, Mayor of Chicago, come on now, help me out. Rahm Emanuel, Chief of Staff. And then some of the economic advisors, and I'm going to get their names, but that were there in the first team, are really a class above the people that are surrounding Obama in the White House right now. And so the second term team, course, you can blame him. That why didn't he recruit, or aren't there people available that could have matched up to that first term team? And obviously, somewhere there may be, but they're not there.
Patrick, is it customary then, or Bobby, to change your team like after you've completed one term?
People bail out. People are worn out after four years in the White House. They're just worn out.
That is not unusual. See, Ron Emanuel now is mayor of Chicago. Oh, yeah. And Axelrod.
Yeah.
But the mistake you make sometimes is you look to your friends and you bring them aboard, and they may or may not have the skills to do what needs to be done. And
that's just plain stupid.
Because
to do that.
It's been one thing after another. You have the Benghazi thing.
I can't even name the current chief of staff in the White House. Can you?
No, I can. That starts with those.
See, that's not good.
You better Google it, honey.
That's not good. Who is the current? Bill Daley was there for a while.
Yeah, he left.
Mayor Daley's brother, but he didn't last that long. And then they brought in somebody else whose first name vaguely remember, maybe Terry.
I think
or
it
something.
Starts with a P or. Terry's, anyway, that's sad. We should know that.
I can't come up with the chief of staff. And the people that are in the place of...
Then you'll get it, Bobby.
Axelrod and Pluff. I don't know who those people are.
Well, I guess Jay Carney gets more exposure.
That's another thing. Robert Gibbs, his press secretary, was really a cut above, too. You have to throw Robert Gibbs in there.
But Jay Carney actually was there at the end of the first term, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a former Newsweek editor.
Dennis
he's pretty good, but he's not at the level of Robert
Tell us
Gibbs.
Again.
Dennis McDonough.
Dennis McDonough.
Dennis McDonough.
Chief of staff? Never heard of him.
Oh, yeah. See, I mean, that's part of the problem.
Well, there's also this scuttlebutt going around that these people that he's brought on don't want to give him maybe bad news or questions, so they don't tell him anything.
They're afraid of him, yeah.
But that was a poor choice of words on his part, but it isn't... The White House or the government canceling these policies. It's the
insurance companies. I don't think anybody thinks that it is. I think they know that the cancellations are coming from the insurance companies.
I would submit to you.
They just don't understand why.
If he had the staff he had in the first term, he wouldn't have said some of the things he said. I mean, the job of the staff that surrounds the president is to keep him from making mistakes like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And let's not make a mistake here by not going to our commercial break, Bobby.
Okay.
I love to get it in there. This is Tri-State Viewpoint with Bobby Nelson, Gene Dean, and our guest, Patrick Grace. We're going to take a couple of minutes for some commercials, and then we'll be right back with you here on Supertalk, 94.1 FM and AM 930. And please give us a call if you'd like to join in the conversation. We are at 304-399-8255 or 1-877-420-8255. We'll be right back.
930.
And Ernie, we rush around from studio to studio here. And Ernie, could you maybe confirm some dates for us here? There's an election tomorrow in Virginia, election day there. And also thinking New Jersey. But we want to be sure that we're giving out the right dates. Yes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And now, what's all that you're holding there, Bobby?
These are the chiefs of staff Obama's had in the second his second term. The first was Rob Emanuel. We know he left in 2010.
Went to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Then William Daley, Mayor Daley, saying he was there for a year.
Mayor Daley's brother.
And then they brought in Jack Lew, who was
Treasury Secretary.
He was there from 2012, late mid to 2013. And newest chief of staff is Dennis McDonough, who just came aboard a few months ago. So that's like a revolving door.
You took the words out of my mouth.
And that can create instability, too.
Oh, absolutely. The only name I recognize there even is Rahm Emanuel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Whoever heard of the others?
Well, Bill Daley is pretty prominent as he was.
He's the son
Rich
of
Daley's
former Mayor Daley.
Rich Daley's brother.
Oh, yeah, well, let's not go down that road.
But the
I was a classmate of Richard Daley.
He's from Chicago, I think. Yep, but there is going to be, I think, tomorrow in Virginia, if we get it right, and I think it is Terry McAuliffe, who's the Democratic candidate for governor of that state, is taking on a man named Cuccinelli, who was the
Attorney General.
He wants to be governor.
And McAuliffe is former Democratic Party chairman.
Right, and there's a... Virginia is a very interesting state because it can go red or blue because of the makeup of the state. Up north is Democratic and Virginia and all that. Down in
it's very much red at the present time, isn't it?
No. Yeah, but I think it went for Obama.
Twice.
That's why. But it's still
Virginia went for Obama.
Yes,
twice.
Yes. Well, listen, up in Arlington, all up there where you were, that's blue country. But as down toward Richmond and you get into the red, and there are more people north than south. They're very much...
Both 2008 and 2012, Virginia went for Obama.
But they had a Republican governor, and I think the legislature split, I believe, half and half.
I don't know about the legislature.
It's one of those weather vane states you can look at and get some idea. That's why
it's really a purple state. They call it a purple state now.
Yeah, probably.
Mix a little red and a little blue,
and
you get purple.
This is the first major election on all this Obamacare stuff that's been going on.
Cuccinelli got on the wrong side of things by supporting the government shutdown.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of federal employees in the state of Virginia that they wrote him off right away when he did.
More so.
Here again, that's just plain stupid. You've got all those federal employees there in the northern
Pentagon. Bottom. You got all these but you have a huge population base there too. So that's why.
Mm-hmm. Then he changed his mind and switched and said, "Nope, actually." I'm opposed.
Well, I tell you that every politician should know that if they say something, if they change their mind, they should stick with it. And that applies to parties.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we have a few party jumpers. I guess we're going to see more of that.
Yeah.
At the JJ dinner out in front of the Civic Center there Saturday, they had a big group of maybe 75 or 80 Tea Party people
that
with
many?
Their flags and all.
Where is this, in Charleston, Bobby?
Yeah, in Charleston.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
They're
my
feeling
goodness.
Their oats now. They think they're back on a roll because of the trip up on the Affordable Care Act. See, they think people will forget the shutdown and forget the debt ceiling and all that. Every 15 minutes is a new issue.
Why don't they get off that dead horse? I mean, because it's law, it's going to be law, and they're wasting their time.
I think we all three of us agree on one thing, that the best kind of Republicans are the establishment, moderate Republicans that are pragmatic, that can work with the other party, and it could get things done. I mean, the bottom line is get her done, get things done.
Yeah, but those are the ones they're pushing out, the moderate Republicans, the establishment Republicans, Ted Cruz is just filling in an unexpired term. He's just been there a year, and he's just trying to ramrod. And he's irritating the establishment Republicans, but in the House, it's the Tea Party part of the Republican majority that has the control.
Yeah, but the big corporations, Bobby, and the Chamber of Commerce types, they're going to put money into the establishment Republicans the next time around. They're going to try to stomp out some of these Tea Party people.
Well, I like that term, establishment Republicans. Yeah. But why don't they come out strongly?
Yeah.
I mean, they could batter the Tea Partiers down if they wanted to.
Yeah, I would.
Well,
help.
I think Mitch McConnell was
trying to crawl
back on the limb because he's got a very, very hard race, he's been the most hardcore against Obama. But the Republicans opposed the Chamber of Commerce opposed the shutdown law because it hurt
business. Sure they did, and the big corporations did too, and the Wall Street types.
And they gave
brokers
a bunch of money to elect some of these people. Now they're saying they made a mistake.
It's buyer's remorse.
Yeah, and it's all of this is going to roll into next year's election when every member of the House is up and a third of the Senate. So we're
Well, Annie has given us the names of the people who are running in New Jersey and Virginia and in Massachusetts, and are all these elections tomorrow, Ernie? Okay.
They're all tomorrow. Okay.
So New Jersey is tomorrow?
Yeah.
Guess so.
Oh, okay.
We've got Governor Christie running against somebody named Barbara Buono.
She's not going to come close.
He's got a very long lead.
Then there's a Senate race also in New Jersey. Jeff Chiesi, I guess it is. Chiesi, it looks like an Italian name.
Against
a man, Cory Booker.
Booker's already a
senator.
That was already done.
That one's already done?
Yeah, that was done 2 weeks ago. Cory Booker was...
He won the Senate term,
He was the mayor of
Newark,
and got his fame in the big
Turning Newark around, yeah.
Okay, then there's a Republican running for governor in Virginia, Bob McDonnell.
No, he's the current governor. He's being...
Is he not running again?
No, he can't.
Okay.
Big scandals.
In that case, we've got the one you mentioned, Bobby, Cuccinelli,
yeah.
The Republican, McAuliffe's a Democrat.
Right.
And there's somebody named, looks like Saros or Saris.
Sarvis,
an independent.
Yeah, that's...
And finally, in Massachusetts, the Senate seats up, Ed Markey versus Gabriel Gomez.
Yeah, Markey's a House member. And
Markey
should win that.
Yeah.
But, so those are the races tomorrow, except the reason Booker is there, Frank Lautenberg died, and so they had to appoint him.
Okay. Well, it's interesting to know what's going on in other states, and on Wednesday we'll be able to see what the results are, Bobby. So.
Yes, or even Tuesday night.
We won't be on
the air. They're also having a school bond levy, I believe, in Charleston. They had it Saturday, but I think they're going to vote for a couple days, trying to get the school bond passed, and getting ready for one in Wayne County, which should be a real humdinger.
Listeners, we have to go. Thank you for listening to Tri-State Viewpoint with Bobby Nelson, Gene Dean, and our guest Patrick Grace. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Hope that you'll have a wonderful evening. Thanks so much. This is Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930.
The John Boy and Billy Big Show, mornings 6 to 10 on Super Talk 94.1 FM and AM 930 WRBC Huntington, a service of Kindred Communications.
Huntington, and I believe that if we could get those developers who own the property to agree to have that property annexed into the city, that's the opportunity where the city could be working with developers on having new housing developments and roads and water and sewer built in that area. That could be a future development that could add thousands of people to our population.
Well, give it a go, Mayor. Give it a go.
Well, and if you don't move to at least incorporate it, you know our neighbors right up the road here, they're very, very aggressive. They're all around us, and that's why you need to do that.
Yeah.
Finally, Mayor, have you given some thought to maybe going after the state soccer tournament here? I know it's in Beckley now with all of our facilities. That would be a good thing to bring to home.
Mayor, thank you for being with us today. Listen, listeners, I've got two mayors to cope with here. Thank you, Mayor Williams. Good to talk with you.
Thanks,
we'll be right back, listeners. Thank you.